the deepest, darkest grooves, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for the Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Tyler Mann, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Ken from St. John, Indiana, representing Lake Hills Haunted House. We want to send a big shout-out to The Big Scary Show for having us on here today. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Ted Ramey from Xena and the Evil Dead movies and Spider-Man. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Kim from Kim's Crypt Haunted Attraction in Baltimore, Maryland, and Kim's Crypt Haunted Mill in Spring Grove, Pennsylvania, kimscrypt.com. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, this is Bob Schilling from the Dark Side Haunted Adventure in Exonia, Wisconsin. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Debbie from Fright Kingdom in Nashua, New Hampshire, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Chris Ainsworth from the Thornhill Woods Haunted House. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
There, finally. In my seat, ready to go. Time to listen to the new episode 102 of The Big Scary Show. This is all perfect as you're heading to Trans World. In this episode, Badger's got the deadline news, and then is at the Days of the Dead in Atlanta, Georgia, with an interview with Sabretooth and Michael Myers himself, wrestler Tyler Mane, talking about his new company, Mane Entertainment, their film Compound Fracture, and their new upcoming release. The Unknown Scare Actor returns with Scare Actor Spotlight, spotlighting a new member of the haunt community acting regime. Storm rants about local laws for haunts in A Haunt Minute. Some dude named the Haunt Rocker brings you some spooky tunes to get you in the mood for Transworld. And then all four of the hosts get together for the 13 questions of doom in the round table of terror. All this and more on The Big Scary Show. What? I'm sorry, man. Yeah, can I get a Jack and Coke? Well, thank you. A double. Nice! All right. Wait a minute. Crap! I booked the wrong flight. I'm supposed to be going to MHC, not Transworld. And we're in the air already. Crap. Okay, well, I guess I'm just going to have to ride this one out. Guys, keep a room for me. I'm on my way. I'm on my way to the perfect place. The perfect place. Oh, crap.
Do you want online ticketing but get scared by service fees? HauntPay is scary simple ticketing and payments for your haunted attraction, with features made for haunts, including timed ticketing and repeat time slots, variable ticket types, bundled and combo tickets, social media discounts, and more. HauntPay is designed with haunted attractions in mind. Check them out at hauntpay.com and start now for free.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at Days of the Dead in Atlanta, Georgia, for the Big Scary Show, covering all the great stuff that we always do when we come to cons like this, bringing you the interviews that you know and you love. And this guy has been on the show at least once before, certainly one of the taller people I've ever had the pleasure of talking to. He was Sabretooth and X-Men. He was Michael Myers. He owns a little entertainment company. Done a ton of things. Loved him in Troy. Lots of cool stuff. Mr. Tyler Mayne, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
Hanging in there, man. You've always got a crowd around the table. It's always kind of hard to catch a couple minutes with you. When you got all these people coming down here, what are they usually talking to you about? Are they talking to you more about Michael Myers? Are they talking to you more about some of your other roles? What is the kind of the trend here?
Well, I mean, it's a wide variety. Like you'd mentioned, I started my own production company. A lot of people are coming up and saying that they had a chance to see Compound Fracture, our first picture. We're getting ready to do our second one, which is Penance Lane, in another couple of months here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Very nice.
But, yeah, I mean, a lot of fans of the Halloween franchise has been around since 78. It's a big franchise, you know. And then there's a lot of the X-Men fans. So it's a wide variety. It's a wide variety.
And I believe there is, I think there's one other Michael Myers here this weekend. I'm not 100% sure, but do you collaborate with some of, shall we say, the old guard who were Michael Myers in previous incarnations?
You know, if I run into him, I'll talk to him and stuff like that, but it just depends if we happen to run into each other, you know?
Okay. So you guys don't just normally keep up, it's just if you run cons and stuff like that. Have you ever had a Halloween panel with, like, five or six Michael Myers sitting on the table or sitting in front of the table there?
I have. It's been interesting.
Who of those guys do you think has done the best portrayal? Was it Dick Warlock or was it somebody else?
That's a loaded question. That's one I'm not even going to answer, man. I'm not even going to go there.
I'm surprised you didn't
say. I'm going to tell you the best Michael Myers is myself, though.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you didn't say why Tyler Mayne's the best, of course.
Trying to stay politically correct.
There you go. So let's talk about a little bit about Mayne Entertainment here, your own production company. I think when we were talking at Mad Monster a couple of years ago, you would talk about you were just forming that or just getting ready to work on your first film, which was Compound Fracture. How's that been received?
Very good. You know, people are enjoying it. If you haven't seen it, go out and check it out, or you can go on to Mayne Entertainment and purchase a copy of it. We'll sign it for you and send it out to you. People are enjoying it, yeah. So we're getting ready to do our next one. Like I say, Penance Lane's coming around right away. We're getting ready to film it, like I say, here in Atlanta, Georgia, in the next couple of months.
Penance Lane, is that a takeoff on penicillin, or I'm not?
Penance Lane.
Oh, Penance Lane. Okay. Any overview that you can give us a little bit about what it might be?
You can go out onto the website penancelane.com, take a look at it. You can see storylines and all of that, and take a look there.
Very nice. When do you expect that to be wrapped up?
That's hard to say, you know. I mean, like I say, we're in pre-pro right now. We're going to be in production in the next couple of months, and then you got to go through the whole post and all of that, you know. So it's a long, tedious process. People see the finished project, 90 minutes of film, and think that it just happens overnight. It's something that takes a long time to do and a lot of money to do it.
So. Hoping for a theatrical release on that one?
You know, you always are. It just depends. With the way the market's changing, who knows what's going to happen, you know?
Ain't that the truth? I mean, you know, Netflix may be bigger than theater, who knows, at some point.
You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
So for people wanting to get more information about Tyler Mayne, upcoming convention appearances, coming down the road the next few months, more information on the new movies, and everything in the world of Tyler Mayne, how can they get that information?
Yeah, just go to TylerMayne.com, Mayne Entertainment, Mayne Entertain on Facebook and Twitter, and Tyler Mayne on Facebook and Twitter.
Are you verified on Twitter?
I am.
It's all about getting that blue check, isn't it?
I got that blue check.
Well, Tyler Mayne, again, an absolute pleasure to have a few minutes with you here. I'll let you get back to your adoring fans here at Days of the Dead in Atlanta. My name is Drew Badger for the Big Scary Show, and we are out.
Calabrese, the dead don't rise. On the Big Scary Show.
Stand out there. Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
We start off with this update from the Factory of Fear in Moline, Illinois. Factory of Fear, Infected, puts you and your group in a brand new storyline in which you choose your path and you control the outcome. Zombies have completely taken over and you're locked in. Can you find the serum in time and make it out alive, or become infected yourself? More scares, possibilities, and surprises than ever. The very first zombie survival experience in the Quad Cities, Factory of Fear Infected, Friday, May 13th. Friday the 13th, and Saturday, May 14th from 7 p.m. until midnight. Groups will be limited to 5 or less, and tickets will be very limited. Also, have you ever wanted to work at a haunted house, or do you just really love zombies? Now's your chance. The Factory of Fear is looking to expand their cast for the weekends of May 13th and 14th for their Infected event. Actors will be extras and may have an opportunity if they wish to stay on for future events. Extras should be 18 or older, be reliable, and have a desire for flesh. Head over to www.qcfactoryoffear.com and apply now, and get more tickets and information about Infected on their Facebook page, facebook.com/factoryoffear. We have this from the 13th floor haunted attraction in Phoenix. Zombie Apocalypse Live is a tactical live-action video game-like zombie shooting experience. You and your team will use infrared military training replicas to clear apocalyptic and infested areas where the undead have invaded. The zombies will be wearing cutting-edge headshot targets that will flash to indicate a hit. Beware, though, some zombies may need to be hit more than once to be taken down. Wearing your end-of-the-world clothing and gear is encouraged, as is listening closely to your orders. Your survival may depend on it. You will be immersed in an apocalyptic nightmare world where survival is your only goal. Happening April 8th and 9th at the 13th Floor Haunted House, 2814 West Bell Road, Suite 1430 in Phoenix, Arizona. Get more info at their Facebook page, facebook.com/13thFloorAZ. We have this update from Spooky Empire in Orlando, Florida. She's alive! Alive! Look who's joining the party, Kelly LeBrock. She's making a super rare appearance for a one-time reunion with Anthony Michael Hall and Elin Mitchell Smith. So what would you little maniacs like to do first? Don't miss out on this rare opportunity to meet the cast of Weird Science, one of John Hughes' greatest movies, at Spooky Empire this April at the Wyndham Orlando Resort. Tickets, VIP packages, and hotel rooms are available, but moving fast. Get them while you can. Rooms are almost sold out. You don't want to miss out on one hell of a party. For more info, visit SpookyEmpire.com, like and comment their Facebook page, and spread the word. We have some news on an art exhibition in Los Angeles featuring Da Krampus. Save the date, the opening reception and party for the group art show and exhibition on the Legend of Krampus, the Austrian Christmas Devil, June 4th at the Hive Gallery and Studios, 729 South Spring Street in Los Angeles. The exhibition explores the pre-Christian Alpine traditions of dressing as Krampus, the mythical beast to accompany St. Nicholas on Krampusnacht, Krampus Night, December 5th. Every year on Krampusnacht, a menacing band of Krampuses, where's that Krampus eye? Who knows? Fully clothed in fur suits and giant masks with horns, hold a Krampuslauf, a Krampus run, and parade through town, clanging cowbells and threatening to steal the naughty children. Krampus has recently become a pop culture icon, with the three-year-old Los Angeles Krampus troupe performing a traditional Krampuslauf through downtown L.A. every year in early December. Like a demonic SantaCon, similar Krampuslaufs are sprouting up across the U.S. and the world. Even Hollywood has taken notice, with at least 6 Krampus feature films. The exhibition includes masks, fursuits, and videos of traditional European Krampuslaufs. Krampus and Alpine attire are encouraged, and a $5 suggested donation to keep the hive alive. The group art show runs from June 4th through July 3rd and features an ever-expanding list of acclaimed artists. Get more information by searching for The Hive Gallery and Studios on Facebook. We have this on a possible TV show based on the Halloween movie franchise. As of last year, Dimension Films was working on a film titled Halloween Returns, which was described as a sequel to the original Halloween 2. Marcus Dunstan and Patrick Melton were penning the script, with Dunstan set to direct, but those plans came crashing down when Dimension lost the rights to the franchise. So where does Michael Myers go from here? The small screen, perhaps? The fine folks over at Fangoria magazine recently spilled some beans about a conversation they had recently with an anonymous filmmaker, revealing that the filmmaker told them the Halloween franchise may soon be headed to the small screen. According to their source, producers are talking with network representatives about potentially bringing Michael Myers to the small screen for the very first time. However, these are rumors and should be taken with a grain of salt. Quote, our sources said that the television reboot would be a limited series event, with the option being restricted to a 3-5 season commitment akin to Guillermo del Toro's TV adaption of The Strain, wrote Fangoria's Ken Hanley. Horror on TV is hotter than ever right now, and with various issues plaguing the Halloween franchise's big screen return, it makes total sense that producer Malik Akkad would want to try the small screen on for size. It certainly wouldn't be the first horror franchise to make the leap, as shows like Bates Motel and Scream have recently paved the way for others to follow suit. Will this rumor turn out to be true? As always, only time will tell, and we will tell you more as we get more information. We have a little more convention news from Days of the Dead in Los Angeles. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actress, writer, and director Christina Klebe to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Los Angeles, happening April 1st through the 3rd at the Los Angeles Marriott Burbank Airport Hotel. Christina Klebe is perhaps best known to horror fans for her role as Linda in Rob Zombie's Halloween. She has also appeared in such films as Zone of the Dead, Alleluia, The Devil's Carnival, Chillerama, and Tales of Halloween. Christina Klebe appears courtesy of Etheria Film Night in support of her film As Human as Animal, which she both wrote and directed. Christina Klebe joins previously announced guests Tobin Bell, Fairuza Balk, Lisa and Louise Burns, Tony Todd, Sid Haig, Bill Moseley, Tony Moran, PJ Souls, and many, many others as Days of the Dead returns to the West Coast as they invade the Los Angeles Marriott Burbank Airport Hotel April 1st through the 3rd. Tickets for Days of the Dead Los Angeles are on sale now at daysofthedead.net. And finally, we have some news regarding the legendary Joe Bob Briggs appearing in Philadelphia. Cinadelphia Film Festival presents An Evening with Joe Bob Briggs. Spend an evening with cult favorite TV host, author, and film critic Joe Bob Briggs as he chats about a life spent on the outer fringes of acceptable cinema. Joe Bob's talk will be followed by a Q&A with audience members and a screening of The Warriors as it aired on TNT's Monster Vision. Texas native Joe Bob Briggs began his career championing drive-in movies in the early 80s as a writer for Texas Monthly and the Dallas Times-Herald. His articles on cult and B-movie fare, which were often accompanied by humorous stories involving redneck friends and ex-wives, gave birth to his unique rating that he carried over into his TV hosting career. Following a successful run with a one-man stage show, Joe Bob became host of the Movie Channel's late-night drive-in theater, which eventually became the network's highest-rated program and led to his beloved four-year run on TNT's Monster Vision. Joe Bob's non-hosting activities are numerous and diverse. Two seasons as a commentator on The Daily Show, acting in several film and television programs, and contributing writer for everything from National Lampoon to Rolling Stone. Joe Bob continues to promote B-movies and alternative genre cinema today through lectures and film programming, happening on April 7th at Philomoca, 531 North 12th Street in Philadelphia. More information at philomoca.org or cinadelphiafilmfestival.com.
Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Want to take your haunt to a new dimension of terror? Then let Dark Imaginings conjure up some ghoulish graphics and web design services for your home, haunt, or crypt. Since 2007, professional and home haunters alike have trusted our award-winning and dedicated skeleton crew to make their nightmares come true. Whether you need graphic design services, logos, websites, spooky visuals, or creepy changing portraits, we can help your business look its scary best. To see more of our products and services, drop by darkimaginings.com. Let us help you get ahead of your competition.
Scare Actor Spotlight.
All right, Haunters, the Unknown Scare Actor here. It is the week of Transworld. By the time you hear this recording, we will be knee-deep in big monsters and makeup and all kinds of shenanigans in St. Louis. And, of course, I'm bringing another Scare Actor onto Scare Actor Spotlight. And, you know, we've had veterans on the show. We've had a couple of relative new people that haven't, you know, they've done it 2, 3, 4 years. Of course, Tater's been on the show and Amanda Revenge. But you know what? We got to talk to some newer actors, too. And I have Lynn Vaughn on the line with me. Lynn, how are you?
I'm great.
And Lynn is a haunter down in Florida. And she just finished her first year haunting. So I guess the first question that I want to ask Lynn is, what got you started in haunting?
Well, I had heard about the Lakeland Zombie Fest. I knew I wanted to volunteer there, and somebody had posted that they needed scare actors for their haunted house. So I figured, why not? I did theater in high school, and I'm a big Halloween buff. So I said, here's my chance. And I signed up, and it was kind of, I was sold on it from there on out.
Well, you know, being a Halloween buff does, you know, it takes a... That's a big chunk of what we do, and being that you are a Halloween buff, is there a favorite horror movie you had growing up, or are you one of those people that was afraid of horror movies but still likes to scare people?
I love everything. I really couldn't tell you what my favorite one is. My parents raised me watching horror movies even as a small child, and we always went to big theme parks every year to do the Halloween events at the theme parks. So there wasn't a time where I wasn't doing something big for Halloween. I mean, I guess I was pretty much raised that way. I don't have a favorite. I love them all. So
there's not one character that stands out in your mind and just says, "Hey, Lynn, this is what you want to do. This is how you want to scare people."
Probably. I'd say my character that I was most scared of is Samara from The Ring.
Okay.
The little girl from the well. So scared of her. I thought she's so creepy. You know, she's silent. You don't really know what to expect from her. And yes, the nightmares. Nightmares galore.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's what I was trying to reach for, because there's always one character that stands out, and everybody I talk to, and you know, everybody says, well, it's hard to say which, but if you reach a little deeper, you can see that one character that really scares you, and that's the kind of character that drives, well, it drives me. I mean, I watched a movie years ago called Screams of a Winter Night. It was really cheesy, and it scared the crap out of me. And there was this thing called the Moss Point Man. And I couldn't watch that movie for 20 years. I bought a copy at Horror Hound a couple years ago, and finally finished the movie. So
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's cheesy, but You know, back when I was 15 years old, it was creepy. But anyway, we're not talking about me. I'm going off on a tangent again. We're talking about Lynn Vaughn. Lynn, you've done the Lakeland Zombie Fest. Are you out there as a zombie during Zombie Fest? Are you doing any Lakeland? Are you doing any zombie crawls, things like that?
No, unfortunately, the haunted houses are within the Zombie Fest, so we're there. The only time I get to explore the Zombie Fest is on our breaks.
Okay. So you say that you told me before we went on the air that this is part of the Tampa Bay Horror Factory. Is that right?
Correct. That's the company. There's four haunted houses within Lakeland Zombie Fest, and Tampa Bay Horror Factory is one of the ones that run one of those one of the houses.
And which house did you work in?
Last year it was called Carnival Unleashed, so it had an evil carnival type feel to it. The production value, far better than what I expected going in. It was, I got so scared just walking to my place in the house. They did a wonderful job.
That's great. You told me you had a couple of characters. Let's talk about your quiet character. Now, you said they were both clown characters, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you like doing clown characters?
I do. For my first official character, I think that was a wonderful start. So many people just walking around on my breaks were scared of me. You know, people are very afraid of clowns. I think it's something that's done widely, and, I mean, there's a reason for it. Clowns, for some reason, scare the bejesus out of people.
Well, they certainly do that. Let's talk about your first, your silent clown, the distraction. I mean, some people think that you've always got to get it scare, but the distraction can be just as valuable. Did you learn anything working as a distraction this past year?
I did. I played around with it a little bit. I found that they were much more scared of me being silent and still because they were waiting for me to pop out at them. And so as they're staring at me, we had a drop box right behind. And as they were trying to run away from the drop box, I would silently follow after them. And I'll tell you, we made a dream team, my Dropbox partner and I. We had them running out of our section quite fast. So it was good. And I got to save my voice doing it. So that worked out too.
See, there is a plus to being silent.
Yeah. Definitely.
So on the opposite side of the spectrum, your other clown character. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that one?
That was a lot of fun. Again, I was still a distraction, but going in, the manager wanted everybody to be loud and kind of in their faces, so that's what I went with. And so I was a squealy, high-pitched, almost kind of like a Harlequin-type character.
Uh-huh.
So I guess as they're staring at me, bopping around the room, again, we had the drop box behind them. So, I mean, it worked out, but I felt like people weren't as scared. They were just staring at me like, what a weirdo, you know? But either way, I was a distraction and it worked.
So this, again, this being your first, or this past year being your first season, how did it feel when you got... I know you tag-teamed with your partner. How did it feel to you when that first scare that you helped get came across? Did you get that rush of adrenaline everybody gets?
Oh, boy, did I ever. I had to laugh. Oh, of course, I waited until they left, but I was busting out laughing. I had the time of my life. It was amazing.
And, you know, that adrenaline feeling just gets bigger and bigger, and you just want more of it. And as a scare actor and a new scare actor, I can only imagine how you felt. Probably the way I did the first time I scared somebody, but it's just that rush.
Oh, yes. I used to think about that when, like I said, I always went to Halloween events and at the theme parks and stuff. I always thought about the people working and what it would be like. I never thought that I could do it because I would never be able to keep a straight face or... You know, we see amazing characters out there. I never thought that I'd be able to do it, but being on the other side of it, I wouldn't go back. I would never trade it for anything. I wouldn't. I've become a lifetime haunter.
Well, that's
I found my home.
That's a good thing. We like to hear that. Moving forward, coming up, you know, we're still in March, but you know, we're thinking about next season. We've got, like I said, we've got Transworld this weekend, and then Midwest Haunters Convention's coming up in June. I'm assuming that you're going to be going back to Lakeland Zombie Fest this season.
Yes, we have. Ever since the Zombie Fest has been over, we've been keeping contact in a Facebook group chat. Plans have already been made, and walls are being built, signs are being done. You know, the work has already begun. So things are very much so underway.
Now, is there what are the four different houses that they have there?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know the other companies that run the other ones.
Okay.
I believe two of them were just local people throwing them together, and then there was another production company that did another one. Can't remember. One of them was zombies, one of them was werewolves, and another carnival haunt, maybe?
Okay.
I really don't know. I didn't get a chance to go to any of them. We worked open to close on ours, so.
I understand. You don't get a chance to go see other ones, believe me. I get it.
And that's quite all right.
It is, you know. For years, I didn't get a chance to go see any, but do you want to do a character other than a clown? Is there some other type of character you would really like to try in the future?
Probably a ghost. Like we were talking about Samara earlier. Something like that. Creepy, dark. I think that would be pretty fun to do.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier that you had a theater background. What kind of theater did you do?
Musical theater, mostly. I mostly helped out with props and backstage and things like that, but I did take classes in Thespian Society in high school. Okay. But outside of high school, there wasn't any.
Well, that's what we have haunting for.
Exactly. There you go.
Is there anybody at the haunt you work at that you look up to that really just inspires you to keep scaring harder?
Every single one of them. None of them are from Lakeland. It's a company that's out of Dunedin, which is close to Tampa. So they live quite a ways away. I think it's about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive, and they travel up to Lakeland Zombie Fest. So I had never met them before. And as soon as I walked up, they all came up to me, introduced themselves, and instantly made me feel like family. By the end of those 2 days, I felt like I had been a part of their group for years. And that's how I still feel. They make me feel like I've been a part of the group. And they're a bunch of fools. We joke around all the time. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing them again this upcoming year. They're a wonderful group of people. They really are.
Okay, that's all you can ask for when you work in a haunt. I currently don't work in one specific haunt, but when I did, you know, everybody was family, and that's what it's all about. Everybody watches out for each other. Everybody's a friend. You know, you can learn and grow with each other. And a little known secret: the unknown scare actor actually used to live in the Tampa Bay area, but don't tell anybody.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to start wrapping it up here. Is there anything you'd like to plug? You want to talk, you know, give out the website for Lakeland Zombie Fest or Facebook page or anything like that, just to get the word out there for everybody so they can check it out sometime?
Definitely. They're both on Facebook and they're both on Instagram. Lakeland Zombie Fest, anybody in the Central Florida region, the month of October, you need to go to this. It takes up a whole airport, huge event, thousands and thousands of zombies. You need to be there. And Tampa Bay Horror Factory, they will be there again this year. Come get scared.
And watch out for Lynn, because she'll probably scare you this year.
Yeah, I'll come after you.
Well, Lynn, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your Sunday evening to talk with me here on Scare Actor Spotlight. It's been a pleasure, and I wish you nothing but the best in the future. And please let me know what's going on. I'd love to hear more about your growth as a scare actor as time goes on.
Oh, definitely. I'll have many, many more stories.
Then we'll have to have you back on again sometime.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. With that being said, scare actors, if you want to tell me about what you do, email me, unknownscareactor, or USA, @bigscaryshow.com. Again, Lynn, thank you. Don't forget to check out Lakeland Zombie Fest, Tampa Bay Horror Factory, and we'll be right back.
Are you feeling just a little bit crazy? Are you looking for the right costume to match that craziness? Then you need to go to Von Caron Productions and check out The Insane Ensemble. If you've got a mad scientist is ready to start working on a monster, you've got to check out The Psychosurgical Coat. If you're ready just to start butchering people up, they've got a dissection smock. Or if you think you're just a little bit too crazy and need to be restrained, how about a commitment coat? Von Caron Productions and The Insane Ensemble. Committed to haunters who expect quality. And remember, Halloween is but once all year. Von Caron Productions. Check them out at www.voncaron.com. That's VONCHARON, Von Caron Productions.
Ladies and gentlemen, that music you hear signifies the return of the Round Table of Terror. You know, this is airing during the weekend of Transworld, so we thought we'd not bring in any particular guests because, hey, they're all in St. Louis. So, if for those who've listened to the show a long time, you know we like to do this once or twice a year. We're letting Storm take over the Round Table and bring you a haunt and horror pop culture edition of the 13 Questions of Doom. Storm, are you there?
I am here. I am not broadcasting from a motorboat. No, I am here with Nicodemus, the podcasting cat.
Take it away, then. The show is yours.
Well, why don't you introduce the rest of our, you know, cast?
Well, I thought that might be something you did. But if not, I'll introduce everybody. Storm, of course, will be hosting the 13 Questions of Doom. This is a very quick sharpshooting, round table, shooting gallery type, throwing questions out there. You either get the question right, you don't. Points don't matter, we hope. Let's figure it all out from Storm. We also have the unknown scare actor.
And while you're listening to this, I'm at Transworld with you.
That is true. And who's not at Transworld? Unfortunately, Jerry Vane. We miss you, guy. We wish you were out from Vegas and here in St. Louis. But Jerry, I know you're on the line. At least we hope so.
I'm drinking all the alcohol you won't be drinking.
I knew there was a reason I shouldn't have gone to St. Louis. My name is Drew Badger, and I again am handing the reins over to Storm for the second time. Take it away.
All right, gentlemen, we are at round four of the 13 Questions of Doom. We all know how this works. We'll ask a series of questions. We'll see if our other co-hosts can come up with the right answers. You can play along at home. Make sure to write down your score. All right, we're going to start this one off with the entire category today is horror and haunt pop culture. So just about anything and anything is up for grabs up here. The first question: zombie horde or angry villagers with pitchforks and torches? Badger, you're first.
Gotta go with the pitchforks and torches.
Jerry, what about you?
Zombie hordes.
And Jim?
I'm going to have to go with the zombie hordes.
Oh, wow. Only Badger gets a point. You always got to go with the angry villagers. Why decay and wander around when, you know, be killed in the head? The angry villagers can destroy monsters. You always want to be them.
The classics are always best in this case.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Which brings us to question number two. Best classic movie monster. Jerry, you get that one first.
I would say Dracula.
Not bad. Interesting choice. Jim, you?
Frankenstein's monster.
Ooh, I think we each got half a point on those. Badger, can you round this one up and stay in the lead?
I was going to say Frankenstein, but then I realized it is Frankenstein's monster. But since Jim said it, I'm going to go with the Wolfman.
Oh, can't give you a point for that one because of the awful Wolfman movie that they did a couple years back. No, the correct answer is, of course, the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Ugh. And he wasn't even in the 30s and 40s. I call foul.
He's still a classic, and
yes,
don't make me take points away.
Sorry.
Take them.
All right. Third, it's still early because we're only at question number three. Nicodemus, the podcasting cat, has now placed himself directly on the keyboard, so we'll hope the scoring system can hold. Question number three. Halloween candy you would not share with anyone else. Jim, you're first.
Oh, it's got to be the top shelf candy. Leave my Snickers bar alone.
Okay, I'm going to give you a point on that one. Badger, what about you?
Anybody that's got full-sized milk chocolate from Hershey's is A1 in my book.
Jerry, what about you?
Anything with peanut butter in it.
All right, we're revising that. Jerry, you're getting a point because peanut butter is good. The correct answer is any full or, for you know, the younger audience, king-size candy bars. So 2 points to each of Badger and Jim. And
woo-hoo!
I see the screen because of a cat. Question number four, most overused haunt prop. Badger, back to you.
Oh, gosh, most overused? I dare say it, the chainsaw.
I don't know. You can never have enough of those. If I had my chance, I'd have 20 choreographed chainsaw dance number.
You've never been to Wampus Woods in South Carolina, then?
No. I don't think many people have been to Wampus Woods. It sounds like someplace that's open up next to Fairy Tale Land in any given state.
They do about 15,000 a year, and the last time I went there, they had 42 chainsaws.
Well, then it's working. I mean, it's just going right there.
Apparently so.
And they just got a free plug.
Chainsaws in the upstate.
God, the gas prices on that is fantastic.
Not
Jerry, what about you?
I would say oversized bloody machete.
Close. All right. We'll give you a little bit of something like that. We'll see where Jim's answer falls into this. Jim?
I would have to say the oversized clown sledgehammer.
Man, we're close again. Y'all went with the weapons. Jim and Jerry get a quarter of a point, but it is a big, hairy spider. Absolutely overused. See too many of them. You never see the big, hairy spiders anyway. They're almost not scary at this point. Question number five. Worst modern movie monster. And Jim, you get that one first.
Oh, man, that, you know, wow. You're making me really think here. Drew Badger.
That is like 13 Questions of Doom. You're saying Drew is the worst modern movie monster?
Princess Trainwreck, no.
Well, okay, that's a little different.
You are the only person that ever saw Princess Trainwreck's movie. It
there
did not
movie?
Do very well. Ugh.
Modern Apparently. Movie monster, worst one. That's not really a modern movie, but how modern are we talking about?
I don't know. It's, you know, in
80s.
Color. I'm good with anything, you know.
Robot monster.
Oh my god, you went like super all time back there. You're not getting a point for that one.
Because I portrayed him once.
Keep in mind, he dressed up as Robot Monster.
So why would that make it the worst? That would actually make it a classic and good one.
Because it's
Badger, it's going to you next. We're giving Jerry extra time on this.
Godzilla 1998.
I'm taking a point away for
98, Matthew Broderick.
Is that the Matthew Broderick one?
That's the Broderick one. All right.
I am not removing a point because that was an awful movie monster. But
hell yeah.
That's why I said 98. I had to clarify it.
You had to clarify it to let you keep a point. Jerry, what about you?
I don't know the actual name of it, but the guy from the Scream movies.
Ghostface.
You thought he was worse? Wow.
Oh, I thought those movies were ridiculously stupid.
Oh, they're fantastic. But then again, you know, I was in high school and brought my sister and her friends to it, which was just hilarious. I'm there laughing at the thing. They're screaming, you know, that they're about to die. It's fantastic. Great experience. As a first time when I knew, oh, yeah, I'm into horror and I love it. You know, before that, I was always the scary stuff. But, you know, I went to scream and laugh my way through it. No, the worst modern movie monster is the Babadook.
I was just getting ready to say I was thinking about it, the Babadook.
But you didn't. You could have had that. All right, Jerry, you're getting question
himself. Ugh.
Yeah. Jerry, you're getting question number 6. Best horror victim scream queen.
Okay. I would put it between Jamie Lee Curtis or Linnea Quigley.
Well, which one?
I would go Jamie.
Okay.
I mean, that's the one that I always think of when I think of screaming is from the Halloween movies.
We'll give you a point with that one. Badger, what about you?
I have to go with Linnea Quigley or local favorite Riley Morgan as a addendum.
Pick one.
Linnea.
Okay.
People know who that is. She's been in more stuff.
Jim, you can really start pulling into here. Badger's still ahead, but you can pull up with this one.
Janet Leigh.
You guys are each only getting a point this round. No, the best horror victim screen queen is, of course, Mary Philbin from the 1925 Phantom of the Opera, a silent movie, inventing the genre and being the best scream queen because you couldn't even hear her scream. That is fantastic. That is acting. Look it up on YouTube, people.
That is one of the best reveals in all of moviedom, and I use that scene an awful lot in my actor training classes. And
I have a copy of that.
Oh,
movie.
Wrong reveal. Sorry.
You can find it on YouTube.
I do. I bought mine at the dollar store along with the cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
I downloaded mine off of the public domain website.
I hate you.
All right, we're about to go into question number 7, so at this point we're going to take a little break, and you're going to hear from the sponsor of the Round Table of Terror. Take it away.
You know how it is. You're alone. There's the internet. You start clicking. You're looking for something necrotic. Some things, you see, your grandmother wouldn't call necrotic. Click on some other sites. Whoa, that is just way, way too necrotic. But then you find Necrotic Creations. Necrotic. You may not know what necrotic means, but you know it when you see it. Get Necrotic. Necrotic Creations. Shop anytime at necroticcreations.com. Shop in person at the Transworld Halloween and Haunted Attraction Show in St. Louis, booth 922.
All right, we're back to the Round Table of Terrors, round number 4 of the 13 Questions of Doom. Horror and haunt pop culture. We're leaving that in because that's awesome. And so we're not going to take any points away from Jerry for his comments coming back from the break saying that I'd be better on mute than not. So right now, Jerry, he's in last. Even though I haven't taken any points away from him, he only has 2.75 points out of 6 questions. Jim, damn, he's trucking in there, 3.75, trying to pull away, staying with the head of the pack. But Badger, he's got an even 4 points.
Woohoo!
Yeah, pulling off. Again, the angry villagers with pitchforks and torches have you above the rest at the moment. But will these next couple of questions really run it home. Points will be worth double. We'll see what's going on.
But so is Jerry, the danger.
Just like Double Jeopardy, you are in last place, so you get to go first on this question again. Artistic, happy, scary, or angry jack-o'-lantern?
Artistic, happy, angry, or scary? Hmm. Oh.
What are you carving into a board in October?
I like the artistic ones, but you gotta go classic with the scary ones. I'm just a classic one.
Get a point for that one. Badger, artistic, happy, scary, or angry jack-o'-lantern?
To me, it depends. You know, the kids like to do happy ones. I like to do scary ones or angry ones. But, oof, I have to go with those two because, you know, I got to think of the kids. Got to think about the children.
So which two? You named three there.
We'll go smiley, happy, and we'll go angry instead of scary.
Okay, well,
because I'm having to pay all these prices for these pumpkins that we're just going to throw out in the compost pile a week later.
Well, you grow your own.
They don't grow here for some reason. I get them to flower, and then they never fruit. It's just
I've tried
three or four years since I've
been. You need bees.
Bees.
You gotta have stuff to attract the bees. The bees pollinate the, and then you get the bees.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I need. A bunch of damn bees flying around my backyard with all the kids.
Oh, absolutely. That's the way to do it. Jim, what about you? The artistic, the happy, the scary, or the angry jack-o'-lantern?
Well, I'm gonna go with the artistic jack-o'-lantern.
You're only getting a point either. It is angry. You need to make your fruit that you're leaving on a porch. It's gotta look angry. Those kids coming up to get your candy have to earn it. The angry jack-o'-lantern is the correct answer.
Now, I'm protesting because Drew picked two.
And Drew would have gotten a point taken away if we went with happy, but he went with angry, so he only got a point.
Yeah, my kids went.
Well, I'm gonna say here that angry and scary are pretty much almost the same.
No.
Angry and scary look almost the same.
Do you put the little Batman eyebrows above the triangles for the eyes?
I've never seen anybody put Batman ones up. Yeah, it's not out here.
You know what I'm talking about, the little slants that make you look angry.
Yeah, sometimes. I
see those on it. You see those on scary ones, too.
No, because that's angry. This is going to be the greatest debate. Our Facebook page, you know, Big Scary Show on Facebook, is going to light up with people trying to figure out if angry and scary jack-o'-lanterns are the difference. Post your pics to the page. I'll probably put some up there before this airs, and people won't know what's going on. Wait,
stick a poll up on the Facebook page sometime around the time this airs.
Done. That's fantastic. I got to write myself a post-it. Got to find it. Oh, look, it's over by my angry jack-o'-lantern. Question number 8. Best color lighting to use in a haunt. Jim, because you're giggling, you get to go first.
Best color lighting. It's got to... a color?
Color. Coming from the colorblind host.
Oh, I'm not colorblind. It's just...
No, I am.
It all depends on, really, the theming of the haunt. I mean, you know, I think black light's overdone. With the 3D haunts and stuff, so I would have to go with the muted yellow, dingy type color lighting.
I give a point. That's pretty good, and especially being brave going out there, black lights are overdone. You heard it here first, everyone. While the unknown scare actor has referenced adult diapers 3 times in this show already, we're going and getting out there on that ledge. Black light is overdone. Badger, what about you?
I have black lights in my house. I would have to say greens and purples a la Alien, or Aliens from 1986. Those greens and those purples that they use just make that thing just super eerie. And every time I walk into a room that's like a mad scientist lab bathed in green lights, I'm just thinking that movie. So let's go with greens. Dark, muted greens.
Okay, all right. You dump the purple, which purple, you got to be careful at a haunt because sometimes that just does not work. You got you, It's got to be the right situation for Purple and a Haunt. So with dumping Purple at the last minute with the indecisive answers to questions of doom, we'll still only give you a point. Jerry, you can pull away now.
I'm trying to think here. A lot of people just use the... I see a lot of reds. A lot of reds trying to, you know, emphasize, you know, there's, you know, like if you're going into like a hell scene or something like that, tons of red and orange. That's what I noticed the most, so I would say reds.
You know, not the best answer, not the correct answer, but definitely with the way LEDs have gone, red have made a pop and an improvement. So Jerry's getting 2 points on that one. The correct answer is electric blue. That's right. If you need to try something new with your haunt, backlight, uplight, downlight, no matter which direction you're going with it, go with that bright blue. You will see neat stuff happen with the shadows. It makes grays pop and just gives awesome effects to brighten up your makeup without brightening up the set.
Be sure to tell Bert Zeltan that, because his mini spotlight tunnel that's all red is amazing. And if he does one in electric blue, then...
It'll probably be awesomely amazing.
He'll have to be. We better drop him a note on that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll write that after that. All right. So now we're going weird, and a lot of you are coming back from, you know, the trans world and, you know, the other conventions coming and going as the season goes, so they'll be doing a little bit of plane travel. Badger, someone who almost never travels on a plane, what is the best possible perk on a plane, commercial or private?
Free alcohol.
We'll give you a point for free alcohol. Jerry?
The full-size snack bag, little snack bags of pretzels or cookies.
That's the best possible perk on an airplane?
It is for me, because I won't pay for what they charge.
Jim, what
little,
about you?
A little snack and I'm happy.
The surprise upgrade to first class.
Ooh, good one.
I'll give you a point with that one. You guys just aren't creative. The correct answer is the retractable stripper pole from Iron Man.
Best. Oh, Jesus.
I with you guys and your grade school gutter minds, I almost should take a point away for no one saying Mile High Club. I don't know what perks on airplanes you guys are going with.
We're trying to keep it PG-13.
This is not Hauntcast, dude.
I know that, but I'm just going with previous answers. I'm not saying I gave any bonus points or not, but we went, you know, chips, drinks, and, you know, a Caesar salad in a bigger seat.
I'll never forget the time I flew to Europe. I was going to fly and coach, and they put us up with business class, and we got free alcohol, and we got a meal because it was an overnight flight, and they were going to pop a movie in on a 7-hour flight.
Howard the
and,
Duck.
They popped in the VCR, because this was the 90s, and Dances with Wolves came up, and we're like, okay, halfway across, it's a 3-hour-plus movie, it'll be great. And right as the credits started rolling, the stewardess came out, popped the tape out, and said, sorry, folks, this was meant for first class. And she took it up to the first class group and popped in another tape, which was for business class. And it was Sylvester Stallone's mob hit Oscar.
Ooh, wow.
I'm like, I probably should have flown cargo. I would have gotten better entertainment.
This is still PG-13, but that bitch.
Yeah, exactly. We got to see King Ralph on the way back with John Goodman. That's, yeah. Flying out of England and watching King Ralph with a bunch of
Frits on friend of ours, a friend of ours on the show just flew to Australia for her honeymoon.
Yes.
And they were showing Star Wars The Force Awakens on the plane.
What hell?
That's fantastic. I got to say, Badger, if that was in the business class, you got to think that Stop or My Mom Will Shoot was playing in coach.
Oh, I hope not.
That's what I was waiting for when you said Stallone.
They probably had... They
either
probably
that had, or the over-the-top arm wrestling on.
I'm going to guess they had a puppet show.
Puppet show, better.
We just had a curtain separating us from first and from coach, so, you know, hey. It was a long flight. At least it was overnight, and I was able to sleep half of it.
Not bad. It's still a tight race. Somehow Jim has pulled ahead. We are at question number 10 of the 13 questions of doom after our little air flight overlude there, our layover at the big scary show host airport. Jerry, you're getting a chance to really pull ahead on this one. I'm giving you this question first. What is the most underused type of music in a haunt?
Mine.
Damn, that was my answer.
I'm going to give him some 3 points on that.
Oh, one. That was my answer.
That's a good one. Well, Badger, now we're putting you on the spot. What about you?
Mariachi metal.
Bing! Oh, with the metal, 5 points. He hit it on the head. Jim, what can you come up with there?
Virgil Franklin.
Not bad. We'll give you a couple points. Virgil is great. Wow, Badger hitting it with the mariachi. Yeah, like it.
I see favoritism going on here.
Well, no, because I know the correct answer.
Don't forget, I am working on my Arbor Day Halloween metal album. Come on.
I'll give you another point for that.
What's it called?
The trees are screaming splinters.
The sap is alive.
There was a band called... Wasn't there a band called Screaming Trees?
Yeah, Jerry's getting the full points on that one after the sap. He is alive. Within a quarter of a point of the lead.
The trilogy of leaves.
Jim's just getting crushed here. But
it's a nightmare on Elm Forest.
I'm just... I words can't begin to... Yes.
Jim's ready to beat this conversation.
The walls run red with pop.
This part of it might not even make it into this podcast.
You do.
Jim finding a way for better questions.
This will go with the all Amish haunt that Badger and I will one day make when we
get right.
Because we'll have all this wood and that'll be the soundtrack.
It'll be the finest quality furniture in those haunts that anyone has ever seen.
Great stuff. Amish swings and things. Thank you very much for years of entertainment. Question number 11. We're going to give Jim a chance to jump back up here in the lead, and this one goes to, you know, his best area. Things you always forget the first night acting.
Invariably, it's some form of makeup.
Not bad. We'll give you mostly credit there. We'll give you about 3 points. Jerry.
Things that you... repeat one more time, please.
Things you forget the first night acting.
I would say... things you forget. I would say exactly what your character is supposed to be. At least for me.
I'll give you a couple points on that one. It's a little scary. And, you know. Badger, what about you? What can you come up with?
Forgetting how to pace yourself and blowing your voice out by 9:30.
That happens too. We'll give you a couple points on that one. Not too bad.
Oh, I've done that.
So have I.
The correct answer, needle and thread. Because that is a night something is on rip. Break or fall off your friggin' costume and you look like just crazy and not in a good way.
Ooh.
Question number 12.
Don't ask what happened to Princess Trainwreck when that happened.
Exactly. Question number 12. Favorite haunt or horror t-shirt? And Badger, you get this one first.
Ooh. The one that I own?
Sure.
I own over 250, so...
Okay.
I will say, just because of the full experience of it and the fact that I've been waiting forever to see it, Midnight Syndicate Live at Cedar Point from last year. 2014, I guess I should say.
Okay, not bad. We'll give you about 3 points on that. Black or non-black? Which color?
Black, of course.
Of course.
Is there any other color for a haunt shirt?
Yes, non-black.
Oh, no, light black.
No, just non-black.
Non-black, really? That's a color?
There's some good ones out there. Jim, what about you? Favorite haunt / horror t-shirt?
My hot pink MHC t-shirt from 2014.
Volunteer. That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. You know what? That's a brave, brave shirt to wear.
No, so, you know what's brave is being in the same room when Storm takes his regular shirt off to put on his volunteer t-shirt at MHC a few years back.
Blinding
and
by the pale
wearing your sunglasses.
Light. Yes, blinding. The actors in my haunt have to deal with that. When it's sweaty and I'll change my shirt so I don't get the crud. Jerry, you are a haunt shirt and horror haunt shirt aficionado. What do you got? You can pull ahead with this one.
My 2008 Transworld 13th anniversary shirt that was in white, and that was the only color they carried of it.
Was that in Vegas?
Yes.
Oof. Not too bad.
And everyone complained incessantly because, wait a minute, we're hunters. We don't wear white.
What are you doing, Vegas? Or else you're freaking going to die walking in between stuff. We're definitely going with the bravery. We'll give you about 3 points on that one. So this is going to be a close race to the finish. The correct answer is, of course, House of a Thousand Corpses t-shirt. Because if you're wearing that first, before t-shirts blew up to the pop nerd culture they are now, and here comes the podcasting cat, that's the one that you still get compliments and stuff on. One of the most highly complimented shirts I wear out there. The other one is I Survived Sharknado.
Ooh.
Which is a fantastic one. And
coming out with number four.
Number four, Gary Busey builds robot sharks to fight flying sharks. And the Hoff is not dead. Somehow he's still in it, which is fantastic. Yes. All right, Nicodemus, are you ready for a 13th question? Yes. Are our hosts ready for a 13th question? The scores are as follow. Badger at 16 points. The Unknown Scare Actor at 15.75 points. And Jerry Vane, the Haunter Rocker, Haunstermentalist, at 15.75 points. This is anyone's game right here. So, going out there, Badger, you're in the lead, so you get stuck with it first.
Oh, boy.
Worst idea for 13 questions of doom topic.
What did Nicodemus have for lunch?
He usually only has breakfast and dinner, so...
See? Trick question.
It is a pretty
bad
one.
Worst.
You can't pull that out to 13. So we're giving you a low score. Only 2 points for, signing your name on that one.
Thanks for participating.
Exactly. Jim, what about you? Worst idea for 13 questions of doom topic.
Princess Trainwreck's top 10 dates.
All right, we're giving it 2.25 points because, again, how do we get 13 questions to doom from a top 10? Jerry, you can pull away. What do you got for us? The worst idea for 13 questions of doom topic?
Oh, geez. I was going to say Princess Trainwreck's top 13 pickup lines.
I'm sensing a trend here.
Is that your final answer? Do you need to call a friend?
No. Worst topic. The top 13 reasons to use cotton balls in a haunt.
I could actually probably pull that one off. So
not surprised.
We're going to give you a couple points there. So not too bad. We'll give you about 2.25 points on that one. No, the correct answer is, and this is to jab at my co-host for the suggestions they had for this very round of the Roundtable of Terror, 13 Questions of Doom, Transworld and Conventions for a second time in a row. Yes, go back, check the archives. The last time we did this, it was Transworld and Conventions, 13 Questions of Doom. And that was suggested to be our topic again this time. So we didn't do that. So the final scores for this round, round four, the 13 Questions of Doom, is Badger, 18 points. Jim, 18 points. Jerry, 18 points. It's a three-way tie!
Woo-hoo!
I just love how you guys are obsessed over Princess Trainwreck. There was an awful lot of mentions on this show.
There's something Freudian to it.
Because it's the scariest freaking thing we've seen in how long.
And absolutely. We are going, MHC.
The fact that
going,
you enjoyed it.
MHC is going back to the Scaratorium for their Friday night tour. Hmm. Makes me wonder if I need to give Kelly a call. He does own the blue dress.
Oh, dear God.
The second most infamous blue dress in history, apparently. No, third most after Tater as well.
Well, fourth, if you count that one that people can't tell if it's blue or gold.
Okay, fourth.
Here's a scary thought. You put Princess Trainwreck in the room before the dentist, which is me, and the room after me, which is Jerry.
Oh, you mean not like 2 years ago?
Right. But you weren't in the room before me.
I thought I was at least one room before you.
Were you the very first room before me?
I was in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
But I was at the beginning of the cafeteria as opposed to herding people around into your room from the end of the cafeteria.
We had like the room before the dentist was a padded room with a secret door.
Okay, well that was the room after the cafeteria then. Because they saw me in the cafeteria, then they left, and then I knew that you and Jerry were like a room behind or two rooms behind, so there you go.
And ladies and gentlemen of our listening audience, they only go into this much detail because the three other hosts have never seen me act.
That's because you keep bailing on us.
Yep. Are you going to MHC this year, Storm? Yes, no.
Oh, no. I got to see if I have any money.
Yeah, here's an idea.
House and taxes.
I got an idea. How about Princess Trainwreck goes to the dentist?
Ooh.
Oh, my God. That's scary.
I think I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I think Jerry's going to wear the nurse's costume.
I think I just
ooh,
cracked my
Princess
pants.
Trainwreck, dental assistant.
Princess Trainwreck, dental assistant?
Nah, I really threw up in my
And speaking of train wrecks, we have gone off the rails, closing out the round table of terror. I think we need to give our final, for the co-hosts. Let's do what we call the plugs of the show. So, guys, Badger first, what do you need to plug?
I don't need to plug anything, but I will say, please come by, if you're hearing this during Transworld at all, booth 1434. Come record your shout-outs and get an interview from us for a future Big Scary show. And, of course, talk to me for your quality actor training. I'm already 75% filled in August and September, and it's not even Transworld yet. So that's freaking amazing. So anyway, my website is down at the moment. It will be back up soon. Look for me on Facebook, Rabbit Badger Honk Consulting. Get a hold of me there. Thank you.
Jerry?
Well, it's looking like the new CD will not be ready in time for the for MHC this year due to who I'm working with three different bands right now at the same time. So you can still get all my stuff at jerryvane.com, iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby and all that. And I am planning on being at MHC this year, not 100% confirmed yet, but you can look for me on Facebook as well, the Hot Rocker Jerry Vane, and add my and like my page.
Do it. Do it. Like the page. Like the page. Our unknown scare actor of the worst kept secret in the haunt industry, Jim.
Well, you can I'm taking bookings for my active troupe, mallmonsters.com. I've got quality actors for your queue line or your haunt. Bookings are filling up fast. You can find out more information again at mallmonsters.com. If you're looking for actor training, quality actor training, better actor training than somebody else, no, I won't go there, but I still have openings available.
Unknown scare actor, 75% filled.
I didn't say. I'm not going to say. unknownscharacter.com is down at the moment. However, you can reach me again at mallmonsters.com or at facebook.com/theunknownscareactor.
And I, of course, am Storm. I have the 13 Questions of Doom. You also hear me on our segment, Haunt Minute. HauntMinute.com is a criminally underused website at the time. And,
endorsed by Josh Gates.
It is, and that's why I don't have the one, I have the hate mail one, which everyone please storm at BigScaryShow.com. I need to update that, so I now get the hate mail at my phone. I answer all the hate mail. It is fantastic. Help me decide the next Haunt Minute topic. Keep the conversations there. If you'd also like to see another criminally underused brand of mine, HauntRI.com and TrailsToTerror.com is the haunt I've been working at, and we find out what's going on this spring. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's it for this, Princess Trainwreck disaster.
It's always a train wreck when Princess Trainwreck is involved. Thank you, Storm, for taking over the Roundtable of Terror for this episode of the Big Scary Show. Thank you, Storm, the unknown scare actor, Jerry Vane. My name is Drew Badger. Getting ready to distribute our complimentary prizes, Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat, and a year's supply of turtle wax, not to mention the 13 Questions of Doom board game, coming never to a store near you.
Actually, I might need to make a home game. That would actually be fantastic.
It would be tremendous. Let's get working on that.
I put Cards Against Humanity out of business.
Once again, this is the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show.
And thank you to our listening audience. Each of you are able to download the next episode of the Big Scary Show from BigScaryShow.com for free.
Halloween night on the Big Scary Show.
I only
realize who is going to die?
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right. So, we're coming up to another season, and, you know, it's a good time to be watching the news and seeing what your local state and city governments are, because you never know when they're going to pass something which is going to end up affecting your haunt, your business, and what you're trying to do. You know, you got your normal crazy stuff and things. You know, we've heard in previous episodes how St. Louis is increasing entertainment taxes and that type of thing. Just more hardships on businesses and not looking at what the effect has on small seasonal businesses. You know, we see a lot of things going around with the minimum wage and compensation and, you know, minimum age for actors and that type of thing that we always face. But you gotta keep a lookout for the extreme fringe things. I live in Rhode Island. They're insane. They've tried to move Halloween to certain nights and not have events on nights, which would just affect haunts and our hayrides and such. Most recently, they've wanted to move to the Atlantic time zone. The Atlantic time zone takes place, you know, a couple hundred miles out from the East Coast. You know, parts of the Virgin Islands and, you know, way out in the middle of nowhere, Canada, where seals and nothing else lives. You know, frozen tundra area. You know, that's in the Atlantic time zone. And, you know, they're talking about doing that for purposes of daylight savings times issues and such. Rhode Island is the smallest state in the Union. We really don't need to be messing with our time zone. We're neither the most eastern state nor, you know, the most southern or one that makes sense. But yeah, let's take the smallest state in the Union and we're going to change its time zone so it's all screwed up for everything else. Great way to have our businesses, entertainments, planes, that type of thing to be all screwed up. Because that's what I need. You can get to any place in Rhode Island from Massachusetts or Connecticut in about 45 minutes an hour, depending if you're going across bridges on the other side of the state. It's really not that hard. I believe most of the people listening to this podcast have traveled more than an hour to go to a haunt, because that's all I need. People leave in Massachusetts at 9 o'clock and then get into Rhode Island at 10:30, even though they were only going to get there, you know, half an hour later. No, yes, great, we're already closed because you came from another time zone, because stupid laws get passed to screw up your haunt. So, until next time, keep every minute scary.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
CreepyCollection.com, the most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com, for all your gore and more.
Wednesday 13th, Halloween 13-13, on the Big Scary Show.
Don't be afraid.
size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scary.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people. Screamline Studios, ScreamlineStudios.com. Necrotic Creations, NecroticCreations.com. HauntPay at HauntPay.com. Von Charon Productions, that's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N Productions, VonCharon.com. Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Creepy Collection. Darkest Fears Unlimited. And Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. We would also like to thank the Forga hosts, including Storm. Check out his rants and more at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, actor trainer and traveling actor troupe. Find out more about Maul at maulmonsters.com. That's maulmonsters.com. The Hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane. Check out his latest CD, Circus of Nightmares, at jerryvane.com. Drew Badger, actor trainer, consultant, and more, rabbitbadger.biz. You can leave us feedback at BigScaryShow.com. If you have any news, news@BigScaryShow.com. Check out our Facebook page at Facebook.com/BigScaryShow. And Twitter at TheBigScaryShow, where we just may tweet some info you won't hear anywhere else. You can also search for us on iTunes and Stitcher. To keep up with all the latest news and info, you can always find us at BigScaryShow.com. And thank you for listening. Without you, we are nothing.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those video tube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today.